So anyway, it's a tremendous number. There's only 7 billion people on the Earth. 130 trillion cells in your body. Imagine that. It's a tremendous number. And you are a God to all of these cells. And if you want your body to respond appropriately, do you think your thoughts have power over how your body is going to develop and live in health and vitality? Yes, energy follows thought. And many of our thoughts produce problems in our body, and others solve problems in our body. And these little cells in our body will pick up our thoughts, just like we, as cells in the body of the planet Earth, pick up the thoughts of the higher lives that govern this planet. And we pick up those thoughts, and we do things like maybe produce something like the Constitution of the United States was a development that was probably sent down and picked up by the Founding Fathers as a way to increase freedom upon the earth. And things are developed this way, that we pick up things that we're supposed to do next. Now others go contrary to what is sent down, and others go with it. But eventually, the thoughts that are dominant and sent to us eventually materialize. And the higher lives don't really look at time the way we do, and the fact that it doesn't really matter as long as it's done within a certain cycle of time. In other words, a thought may be sent down to us, humanity, and we may stumble across and make a lot of mistakes, but eventually correct ourselves until that thought is materialized. And it may take 10 years, it may take 100 years, it may take 5,000 years, depending on how difficult it is. Now, the same thing with our body. With our bodies, we can produce tremendous results with our thoughts. And one of the things they've figured out is that a placebo, when they do these drug tests, oftentimes the placebo gets better results than the drug. And when this happens, the drug companies just discard the research entirely and start afresh with maybe making changes in the drug. And what's interesting, one time I bought one bottle of Rogaine in my life, and I first started losing my hair, or was concerned about it at one time. And I looked at the bottle, and it said an amazing thing on there. It talked about on the instructions or somewhere on there, it gave results of a test. They said they used a placebo on some people and Rogaine on another group. The ones in the Rogaine group that received the real stuff, 23% of them grew hair. The placebo group, about 17% grew hair. And I looked at that and I thought, wow, I might as well save my money and put mouthwash or something on my hair, because it doesn't really matter. I thought, wow, that's the power of placebo. The placebo had almost as much power to grow hair as the Rogaine. So I found that fascinating. And another thing that's interesting, demonstrates the power of thought, is that when a person is given a diagnosis by a doctor as having a terminal illness, he may feel like pretty good and not even think he's ill. But when he's told, you know, he probably only got about 3 months to live, oftentimes the guy will die in about 3 months. Whereas if... And what killed him? What killed him, probably more than the disease, was the doctor being the authority figure telling him, hey, you probably die in about 3 months, you know. And that has a tremendous effect on people, what the doctor tells them. On the other hand, if a voice of authority gives a person hope, that power of that thought, of that hope, can often turn the person around and lead to a cure, just because of the power of thought, the power of hope. So our energy does follow thought. And so the first thing we have to do is put thought into communion with our souls. Our soul wants to talk to us, but it's still, I'm sure, a little frustrated with us because we go life after life without listening. And once in a while, it gets a little success in getting through to us, but it kind of keeps track of us, but doesn't pay us a lot of attention because it's a one-way conversation as far as our higher self is concerned. It can keep track of us, and it can attempt to send us messages, but we're so dense, and if we don't hear it, he doesn't put a lot of thought into that. Doesn't put a lot of thought until we begin to respond. And when we respond, then the soul, it says, goes into meditation deep and communes with his reflection. But first of all, we have to show a sense of response. And before we can respond, we have to put attention on it. A little bit like I was maybe when I was thinking, well, how in the world does a guy go about writing melody when there's no instructions on it? You just can't find an instruction book on how to write a melody. So you put attention on it. Same thing with contacting your soul. There's really no manual with A, B, C, and then you'll be in direct contact with your soul. The first thing you have to do is put attention in on it. Attention in believing there is something higher than yourself. What's the main step, kind of the average spiritual person uses to make spiritual contact? What does he do? Prayer, right. And that's something that everybody understands. Prayers are often kind of just asking for something for yourself rather than seek to commune. And if the person is just asking for stuff all the time, well, what's the soul going to think? Well, he just wants that. Wants a bunch of stuff. As a matter of fact, if he had all this stuff he's asking for, his life would be a total disaster. It's a lot better if he doesn't get all this stuff that he wants. But when the person, through prayer, he is sending energy to something higher than himself. Whether he has the right idea of God or not doesn't really matter. He's sending stuff up there. And so prayer can lead a person in the right direction, especially if he looks at prayer as listening as well as talking to God, because we have to listen. What's this other thing that people do besides prayer?
Meditation.
Meditation is listening. Prayer is kind of talking, but it should, and a lot of the ministers now are kind of putting emphasis on listening to God as well as talking to God. And that's a positive direction some of the religious people are taking. But meditation is listening. It should be listening. A lot of meditators just teach about, going into the nothingness and to the spiritual bliss and enjoying this bliss and seeing these lights, different things like this. And that seems to be all they get out of it, but a lot of meditators don't seem to be listeners either. So we have a lot of people praying and a lot of people meditating, not very many people listening.